Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, September the 14th, 2018. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Once again, we are delighted, we're honored that you're here to be part of this conversation about remembering, about reconnecting with who we are and functioning truly as human beings. Before we start out, let's take a moment in silence and let's tap into the North, South Carolina, Virginia area where this storm is coming in so heavily right now. And let's just hold a bubble of light. You know, we can push the winds down, slow that energy system down in terms of its damage, and let's see everybody in its path being safe, being intuitively guided to be in the right place, to be safe wherever they are, those who've chosen to stay behind, and I understand there are many, and those who've left to go to different areas of the country. So we hold everybody in our hearts and everybody in safety, and we'll just take a moment and take a few deep breaths together, and as you do, just see that whole coast, that part of the ocean, the rivers especially coming up through the Carolinas, Virginia, the people around it being safe, secure, their property, their animals, and their person. So let's just take a moment and do a love exchange. Imagine the deepest, clearest love you can find, and just send it to that whole area. I think the people that many people, the work many people have been doing on that, you know, is up at a category 4, it's down to a 1, has had an impact. Let's finish the job and push that thing out to sea. Let it bounce off the coast. Let it go out into the ocean where it's everybody's safe. I understand some reports where there were 83-foot waves yesterday out in the ocean, and that's just unfathomable. Sure wouldn't want to be a ship on that ocean. So we'll also hold anybody in boats that are caught in this storm or its aftermath in safety. So let's breathe together and send that active presence of love. And then let's take a look at our Course in Miracles lesson for today. It's lesson 257. And key line is that of, let me remember what my purpose is. You look at that, remember. Let me become a member once again of what my purpose is. Not just recall, but actually reconnect to. You know, we tell in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop the story about the rose and the butterfly. You know, imagine we have a rose and a butterfly. We give them each an ego. They meet. They fall in love. We have this wonderful time together. But one day, the butterfly up and flies away. The rose, knowing that the love of the butterfly is the most important thing in its life, uproots itself to give chase. what happens to the rose? The rose obviously dies. Why does it die? It made something more important than being connected to its source. So it is by fulfilling our purpose, or should I say that one of the byproducts of staying connected is that we will know and be able to fulfill our purpose. This is lesson 257. If I forget my goal, I can be but confused, unsure of what I am, and thus conflicted in my actions. No one can serve contradicting goals and serve them well. This ties in with the scriptural idea of no one can serve two masters. Nor can one function without deep distress, and depression if they are serving conflicting goals. So there's the resolution for distress and depression. The goals, start to let go of the goals. What's that called? In Aramaic, that's called forgiveness. To cancel a goal is to collapse the mental constructs, the perceptual constructs based in distress, depression, and pain. So let us therefore be determined to remember what we want today, that we may unify our thoughts and actions meaningfully and achieve only what love would have us do this day. The meditation, if you want to just get quiet for a minute, take a couple of deep breaths. Father, forgiveness is your chosen means for rescuing us from our own insanity. Of course, uses the words salvation here, but it's just rescuing us from our own insanity. Let us remember today that we can have no will but yours. We can make up a pseudo-will, something that appears like will, but it's only when we harmonize with the will of that we are a part of that we really function in aliveness and joy. And thus, our purpose must be yours as well, if we would reach the peace, the serenity that you will for us. So the bottom line here is that the Creator's will for you is to live in that connected space of active present love, and instead of giving up your connection to that, that in all the events of the world, you maintain that connection, that you maintain to functioning as active present love. So that's the bottom line of where we want to go. And when we wake up to ridding ourselves of the idea. You know, most everybody, when they're in disturbance and pain, have a because. Well, I'm disturbed, I'm in pain because you. Excuse me. If you're in disturbance or pain, and you want to resolve it. Now, some people don't want to resolve it. It's their identity. They love to play there. They get to do the victimhood game. There are lots of payoffs to that. So you can ignore this if you like. But you've got to get over the idea, if you want to heal, that you're in disturbance or pain because of anything other than the fact that there's disturbance and pain in you. Until you bring the process back home, until you take responsibility, if you're not living in love, it's not that you're not experiencing love because your child did this, your parent did that, your spouse did that, your government did this, your neighbor did that, your employer did the next. None of that is true. Now, the mind can use all those things as excuses. The reason in this moment that you or I are not functioning as love is because there's something less than love in us. If we stop having our conversations about how it's all your fault, it doesn't mean you can't have a conversation about, gee, I'd like to see something change here. But when I blame something or somebody else, when I blame some external circumstance on my pain, pardon me, the reverse, I blame my pain for that external circumstance, then I've inhibited myself in the ability to step back to experiencing the aliveness that is natural for me. This is the only problem that there is. I made something more important than being connected to my source, which is love. So when I have a goal that recruits something from inside of me that's based in trauma or pain or fear or anger, then my mind is going to create a construct that has me believe that whoever is present or whatever is going on is the cause of my pain, rather than the fact that I loaded a goal in my mind that's showing me my pain, that's recruited my pain into activity. And it's only when my pain is recruited into activity that I can see it and I can begin to let it go. It's a great piece of learning. Instead of having this long, drawn-out conversation about how if only you'd change. And again, that doesn't mean you can't invite somebody to change. But if you're in pain, you're in pain for one reason. You made something more important than being connected to your source. And you have formulated a goal that has recruited that data into activity. And that data that's based in pain is now forming the perceptual output of your mind. It's yours. To forgive is to collapse that and to step back to the truth of who we are, to reconnect with source and to experience functioning as love once again. So that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to be part of, is a community that understands that and holds a space for that on a global scale. And we're honored that you're part of this community, that you're part of this conversation. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is, and he's on.
Great. Well, let's say hello to Tim and see if he's got any awesome insights for us today. Anything exciting happening? I know you had a support group last night. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. We did have a support group. There was one other person plus myself, and we had quite a synchronous talk with Guy Finley based on his topic about this one hidden thing that keeps us stuck. And of course, it's all an inside job. And it resonated quite a bit of, is he talking about me? Does this guy have cameras in my house? And how does he understand practically verbatim where I'm stuck? And so it was just a lovely, challenging, but a lovely discussion. And and I had a full day worth of patience with people in various stages of coming to terms with the fact that most of what they've been taught in their life in terms of how their mind works with their thoughts, works with their emotions, works with their physical body is false. And I suppose I would, since it happened so many times yesterday and so many people were getting benefit from using the EFT tapping, and again, it was a wonderful tool this morning for my sister, who went and saw the orthopedic surgeon again, and he wanted to drain fluid from her knee and give her a cortisone injection, and she had to breathe and tap, and it absolutely has been, you know, she has been giving testimonials for the past 2 weeks since her surgery about how she uses breath work and tapping and has, I think she did 2 days of the narcotics and then quit them and hasn't even had to take the over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, Tylenol or ibuprofen or whatever, for the past 2 weeks, even though she had major surgery on a bone spur and tendons. And so I suppose it's just, it's a good thing to remind people that learning about how to give yourself an acupressure treatment for anything that bothers you mentally, emotionally, or physically, and learning that that stress and tension you create within you is an inside job and driven by your goals, so that if you can learn the goal canceling process and the breath work and the tapping, you can absolutely transform the quality of your experience of life. And that's what I've been doing since I got introduced to these tools, and that's what is such a joy for me to be with others when they choose to do that. And that's my offering for today, because that's been a big part of many sessions for the past few days.
Awesome. Well, that's fabulous, and let's let everybody know that if you want to access the forgiveness tool that Tim's talking about, you can go to our website. It's there free, www.whyagain.org. www.whyagain.org. And the first two words at the top of the page say start here. That'll walk you through the whole process. You can also get into your phone's app store and type in the words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and you'll be given a forgiveness app that will give you full-blown experience of how to forgive. In the meantime, Tim, maybe with putting the accent on the tapping, perhaps you could tell people a little bit about the tapping, maybe explain the basics of it, and give people a link or a website where they can go to learn more about it.
Let me jump in there and say there is also a link to Robert Smith's tapping that Dr. Tim had told us about on our website under the same Start Here. It's about five links down.
Great. Awesome.
Well, the short version of it is that it uses knowledge of the acupuncture meridians and just has you keep your breath moving while you focus on what's bothering you physically, mentally, or emotionally, and pair that with the thought that it can get better even though you don't know how. And then you just, with the breath moving, rub or tap on some energy meridian points and visualize all of this energy that you're feeling moving through you with ease, rather than tensing and tightening and trying to shut down the experience. This work calls me to breathe and let it flow through me, much like Dale Allen Hoffman has interpreted the first three Beatitudes. Breathe, feel it fully, and let it flow through you. And I direct people to search for Robert Smith Faster EFT on YouTube, and I direct them to the website EMO for Emotional Freedom, EMOFREE.com, because that's the website of the man that created that technique, and he provides a tremendous amount of stuff of high quality, high value for free at EMOFREE.com.
Sweet. Well, thank you for someone else being out there and providing the information, whether people have money or not. That's awesome to see somebody else doing that. And I came across a quote from Rumi. You know, so often he hits the nail right on the head. And the way that this translated, it was originally done in Arabic, Rumi's writings, 13th century Sufi mystic. So the translator has translated the word lover as in one would think an intimate partner, but I'm going to offer that probably it was more tapped to one who was functioning as love in the original language. So here's what Rumi says. If every being grew sad, a person functioning as love would still stay fresh, vibrant, light. Are all the candles out? Hand them to one functioning as love. That one shoots out 100,000 fires. Pretty powerful understanding from Rumi, 13th century Sufi mystic. So many awesome things to say. So we're glad you're here to be with us, Jeannie. Do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room that we should be aware of?
There's just a guest and myself in the chat room, and nobody has a hand up. So if someone presses one, you are first in line for your question. We have 39 minutes. We've got plenty of time. Number again is 563-999-3581. And press 1.
Okay, and I've looked in our email to see if we have anybody with a question. So you can write your questions and email them to whyforgivequestions@gmail.com. And we will not respond to that email with an email back to you until we've answered the question on the radio show, and then we'll hit a reply and tell you what day's archives you can go pick the reply up to. So if you have a question for us, whyforgivequestions@gmail.com. And you'll be dropping a note in my ear. We'll check that every day during the show and see if we have any sort of question that someone doesn't, you know, is at work or what have you and can't ask directly. Well, we'll be answering it on the show. And so if you have a question for us, you know, the purpose for this show is to be offering support, to be offering an understanding of the tools, to be clarifying the use of the tools. So we're delighted that you're here with us having this conversation. How can we support you? What's happening in your world? What's happening in your process? What's happening with your work that we could perhaps support you with? Our call-in number, if you happen to be in the chat room, is 563-999-3581. And if you push 1, then you will be having a conversation with us. And we would be delighted to be having a conversation with you. So 563-999-3581. How can we support you? What's happening in your world? What's happening in your mind? What's exciting in your world? And is there any way we can refine any of the conversations that you're having around your process work and this whole concept of healing? When we're talking about healing, we're really just talking about being restored to your original state. And once you are restored to your original state, you get to function as a human being. And when that energy of active present love becomes the governing energy in your field. You know, if you think about a radio, you know, you maybe even listening to your AM radio, it's late at night, and gee, it's almost like 4 different stations are being heard. It kind of, you know, slides in, you can hear some music, and then you hear an announcer kind of come in, and then it just goes back and forth and back and forth between stations. And that's a feature of an AM radio in that, you know, it doesn't block one signal in preference for another if there's signals that are relatively equal. And, of course, atmospheric conditions are changing all the time. So, you know, if there are 4 signals on the same frequency that happen to be bouncing in where your antenna is receiving those signals, then, you know, a small atmospheric change can make a 1-point difference, and all of a sudden you're listening to the station with music. A 1-point difference, and all of a sudden you're listening to the news. A 1-point music, and you're listening to the hockey game. A 1-point shift in energy signal, and you're listening to something else. So each station in turn governs the whole output of the radio. If you're on an FM station, then they have a gating mechanism, so you don't tend to hear that, you know, 2 or 3 signals kind of happening at once, vying for attention. it gates out the frequencies that are weaker and only allows a stronger frequency in, and there has to be a distinct energy shift for it to move from one signal to another. Well, if the energy that's governing our physiology, any part of our physiology, our mind or emotions, and these are the things that we were talking about when we first started the show, you got to stop thinking that they're outside of you. You're the one who chooses what guides the predominant resonant energy that runs your field. And we can move in and out of disease states in a nanosecond. This whole energy system called the body-mind unit, there's no permanence there. It's in a continuous state of flux. That's one of the ideas or one of the dangers in diagnosing disease states. If somebody happens to be caught in the flux of a low energy field, then, and it's a disease state, then one might be told, oh, you've got the ABC disease, and now everybody's focused on the ABC disease. This person goes home and calls dad and calls mom and calls sister and calls brother, tells spouse, tells children, I was just told today I have the, and sure enough, that will become the governing frequency. When if they'd have waited 10 minutes and done your diagnosis 10 minutes later, that disease energy wouldn't even have been there. You know, as an analogy, think about that AM station. So we've got a radio, and in comes this music, and somebody happens to arrive in the living room while the music's being played, and they say, ah, there's a music radio. And literally 40 seconds later, it shifts over to the news announcer, and somebody says, oh, there's a music radio. Or, pardon me, a news station radio signal. And the signal shifts again, and football game's being played. Ah, that's a football radio. Well, very much like catching somebody in a particular state of flux, especially if they're standing in the presence of someone who's telling them all about the diseases they should have and what the symptoms of those diseases should be and how they should be feeling. And if you're not feeling that, you soon will be. They can implant that frequency, and that person ends up with that disease, not because that's what runs their system, but because it was fed to them by an authority who was able to open their field with authority, implant that energy, and sure enough, now their system literally, physiologically reorganizes around the disease state, and they will then check it and say, yep, you've really got the disease. It's a criminal enterprise that does that and pretends to be expert, pretends to be scientific, and pulls that off on people. Now, you just break down the word diagnosis. A dyad is two, and an agnostic is someone who doesn't know. Diagnostic, two who don't know. We need to wake up. We need to become the determiner of what fires within our energy system. And if we find ourselves in some sort of a disease state, we need to be able to recognize that that is something that's inside of us and be able to process through it. Remember that we're talking about processing as the ability to hold love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up. There's an interesting concept that's given in a book called Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein. And this book is about a man who's raised, I don't remember where, the moon or Mars or somewhere, but he's human and he comes to Earth, but he doesn't know anything about the whole human system. And when he runs into something new, he totally withdraws all of his senses and goes inside. And the word that was used by Heinlein in that book is he groks what he's experienced. So he's taking all of the energetic dynamics in and making them his own. This would be very close to the idea, you know, when they said to Yeshua, how do we live like you're living? And he fed them back an idiom, and half of his audience left saying, that's too hard of saying. Basically, what Yeshua said to them is, you've got to grok my way of being. You've got to totally digest this state of being the presence of love and expressing only as love, no matter what the stimuli, no matter what the influences are around you. Now, in Aramaic, the idiom, the words that represented that idea, very similar to grokking in Richard Heinlein's book, the words were, when they asked him, he said, he used an Aramaic idiom, and that idiom by the Greeks has been turned into something it was never meant to be. He says, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood. Like, that's the magic formula. And so people have come to believe that communion, that wafers and wine, are the magic formula for Yeshua's work. But he wasn't saying that. He said, if you want to live as the active presence of love, you've got to grok everything about being the active presence of love. Throw out every station, every attuned frequency that could draw you away from that. And literally half of his audience said, too hard a thing. It's like, I don't want to do that work. Let me go off and make an easy magic theology where we'll make up a magic name and we'll say all you have to do is call on that name and then everything will be okay. An easy theology doesn't cut it. And yet, millions of people are taken in by it. You've got to grok what he taught. You've got to integrate what he taught. You've got to make it your own. And the primary thing that he taught was forgiveness. The primary thing that he taught was, if there's an energy moving in you, an attuned frequency that's reflecting in you as some form of hostility or fear, you've got to stop being addicted to talking about everybody else and how they made you that way and how it's all their fault. And you've got to start to change the conversation, move inside yourself, take responsibility for it, and process through and remove, forgive the energy that don't belong. I certainly understand why half the disciples had left and said, too hard a saying, I don't want to do that. And I say that from experience, because after about 40 years of working with his work directly and 50 years almost developing this work, I own that I'm not finished yet and I'm still grokking it. I'm still pulling into myself and understanding and processing through those things in a way that I understand that, this is mine. I can stop having the conversation about you. Now I can have a conversation with you about circumstances and things, but I've got to stop having a conversation about you if I want to heal. And I got to start having a conversation about myself and start to shift literally down to the words, the frequencies of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, because those frequencies are the only things that will create pain within your body, that will create disease, destruction, and dissolution of your body. And we are the inheritors of 1,000 generations of that, and so it's a monumental piece of work to give up the fascination with the outer eye and thinking that it's all out there and coming back to, and again, doesn't mean you can't have a conversation with somebody out there. Doesn't mean you can't settle differences. Doesn't mean you can't work through things. But you've got to stop having conversations about them. Yes, have conversations with them. But you've got to start having conversations with yourself about what's going on inside of you. This is a hard saying in a world that's been taught, that had modeled nothing but projection, right from the very top on down. You'll notice the top leader in our country is always talking about how somebody else is treating him badly. And it goes all the way down the pike to, you know, when was the last time you saw a television show where two people were in conflict and one of them said, you know, I've got this energy of anger or fear or sadness going on inside of me, and I recognize I need to pull inside. I need to grok. I need to process through my sadness, fear, anger, or rage. When was the last time you saw that? When was the last adult you saw who spoke even close to the truth about what was going on inside of them? When was the last time you saw a parent, you know, as a child, saw one spouse or the other talking to the other spouse and saying, you know, dear, when you did thus and so, that brought fear up in me, rather than, look at what you did, you made me so afraid. Time to breathe. time to grok that. We need to be having these conversations about ourselves, pulling in the active presence of love, exposing it to everything that could pull us off track, asking for support from that feminine elemental force in us that Yeshua taught as Ruka Dekutcha, that will undo the effects of errors and teach us the truth. There's a work to be done. No magic formula of magic words is going to save you. It would be nice, it would be easy, but that's the half that left Yeshua behind and said, no, no, we don't want to listen. We're going to go make it up differently. And you notice the people that made it up differently according to their little formula? Everybody Yeshua ever worked with is suffering in hell today. Because none of them, nobody in the scriptures did that formula. It's false. It's a fraud. But if you believe it will work for you, well, it will make some differences, but it won't take you to the root of what needs to be dealt with. You have to get so in love with truth that you're willing to give that up and go to the truth and do the real work that Yeshua presented.
Michael?
Eat my body and drink my blood. That's where we need to go. The truth of, got to be able to process and integrate everything based in the truth. Jeannie, I think I heard your voice back there. You have somebody on the line for us?
We do. We have a hand up.
Awesome.
And it's 917.
Great.
I think it's Miss Camille, but I thought she was in France. You're on
the air. I just got an email from her, a note from her on Facebook saying she was back in America. Hey, young lady, welcome.
Hi, my dear hearts. I am back. Got back yesterday, and I'm so happy to be back in the States.
Awesome.
It was definitely
a good place to be.
Well, I would like to think so. I have to train myself to believe that anywhere I am is a good place to be. Because I really spent a 6-week intensive in France.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like the work, I took a little tablet in my handbag, and every opportunity I have, which there were many, I did a worksheet, because I found myself, as I have done every time I go to France, left on my own on many surprising occasions. But I have reached the point where I'm not making choices based on the triggers my companion seems so adept at charging me with.
Uh-huh.
I'm making choices based on what I feel is the best for me and for, you know, continuing to love and hopefully respect one another.
Of course, you don't want to be doing that, do you? You really don't want to be doing that love one another thing, or you'd be giving up the truth of who you are for who you're not.
Yeah, well, I just felt like I have invested 5 years, 5 years applying as much as I know about regulatory speech, the truth, speaking the truth. And I am completely, what can I say? I just find a closed door with every attempt I make to engage in understanding and appreciation and affection. So I'm going to accept the opportunity. And here again, it's complicated for me, because I feel like my son and his partner are, you know, ready to rescue me. I don't want to be a part of a rescue. They feel happy in investing in a place for me to live there, and told me to come on over, but to make a decision that this was something I was going to do and not change my mind. So I feel like I want to accept that offer and free myself from the continual stress that keeps coming up in this relationship I've engaged in.
Well, I know that you've done probably beyond your share of worksheets in that context. And, you know, just to be sure that you're finished with the dynamics that you need to be forgiving within yourself, then, you know, everybody has to make that choice. And it sounds like you're at the point where it's time to make that choice and to let go and move forward. So we'll hold the space that your new digs will be perfect for you. And I know that the last time you spent time over there with your son and his partner, that things really upscale in your life and move forward. So we'll hold the space for that. And if things move and come up for you as you do that, you know, we'll be here to support you processing through it.
Well, I really appreciate it. I had thought that I might be able to continue worksheets with Linda and Julie while I was in France, but that didn't happen either. Fortunately, I did have email connection and could hear the show several days or for a few weeks and communicate with them. So the support is, I'm so incredibly grateful for it, because I know that it's really important for me to do the, you know, to make choices for the highest good of all concerned. I really feel clear about it than I have in a long time. And I was able to, in the last 6 weeks, observe Robert and just accept that that's who he is and that's how he operates, and that it's not done, quote, to me for any specific,
right,
you know, reaction. And so I really felt good about, you know, finding myself in awkward or unpleasant situations and just going to a place of peace within myself and letting everything else be what it was around me.
Cool. Well, we'll hold the space.
Thanks very much. I haven't really had a chance to discuss this with Robert. I don't yet know exactly how to approach it, but I'm doing my inner work, and I have a schedule. I have a worksheet session with Linda this afternoon, and Julie and I are going to set up another one because the dynamics or the procedure for you know, packing up here and moving and first talking to Robert about it and then packing and moving hasn't fully come to mind as to how to do it with the least possible stress and upset.
Well, we'll hold the space that you're guided to be able to open that conversation in a gentle, supportive, nurturing manner.
Yeah, that's important, because I know that Robert thinks he loves me and is taking the best care of me that he knows how to do. And I don't want to, let me put that in regulatory speech, I want to acknowledge that and let him know I've appreciated what he has done, and yet feel like we just aren't really meant to live together in this manner.
Well, we'll hold you in light.
Thanks so much. Good to hear your voice. Good to be back here and taking up my new life.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly hold the space for it.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jeannie. Thanks, Dr. Tim, and I'll stay in touch.
All right. Blessings. Take care. Well, that can be a challenge, so we'll hold that everything that comes up in response to that challenge is met lovingly, gently, respectfully. Indeed, we have another person in the phone queue with a hand up.
No,
So if somebody presses 1, we have 14 minutes. We can address your question or your comment. Press 1. Put you in line without waiting.
So I know there's somebody out there who has a question. Somebody out there who would be able to use some support in refining their understanding of these tools. And we want to offer that support. That's the whole purpose for our show. Now, sometimes people are sort of skittish because, oh, my, you know, my voice might be shaky or my question might not be the smartest or the best, or it's such a simple question. But actually, sometimes those very basic questions are the key questions. They're the things that really open the space for deeper understanding. And so if you're in the phone queue and we can support you, if you push 1, we'll be having a conversation. We would love to have a conversation with you. Dr. Tim, anything else on your mind? Jeannie, anything else in your thoughts to share with people while we're holding for a hand to come up?
Well, the thing that comes to me is the idea that when you have somebody who's done as much work, her own personal work, as Camille has done, and you decide to leave a relationship, I want to keep reminding that person to take good care of themselves, be gentle with themselves, and continue in that process of training myself to look and take full responsibility for any sadness I generate, any bitterness I generate, any anger and resentment that I generate, because it's only by taking full responsibility for those energies that I have any chance to apply the tools to dismantle them. And, you know, we've had this question a number of times over the years on the web, on the internet show. When is it okay for a person to leave a relationship? And you've talked at length about how you think leaving is a serious disorder and we need to heal that on the planet, from leaving relationships at the drop of a hat to dying and that whole process. And the big caution I have for people is to recognize that the relief they might experience when they leave a relationship is probably only temporary, because the thing that was stimulating their pain, their fear, their sadness, their low self-esteem and disrespect of themselves is no longer in their face stimulating that. It doesn't mean that they've effectively dismantled all the energies of low self-esteem and anger and bitterness. And so please, for your sake and the benefit of those who might come into relationship with you in the future, continue to use the tools and take full responsibility for any energies you generate, any emotions, any thoughts, any traumatic energies that you might be carrying with you.
I'll second that. That's a big one. Moving through the layers.
And of course,
anything to add?
The big,
go ahead, Tim. Excuse me.
Well, of course, the big key for me in this work was being introduced to the concept that it is all an inside job. And so I need to take full responsibility. You know, at one and the same moment that I can recognize that someone has done something that's mean or insulting or attacking or illegal or disrespectful, I can also take a step back and recognize that the reaction that I'm experiencing to that event is a completely inside job.
Yeah, that fascination with the outer eye is a big thing to let go of, and the temptation to follow the lead of virtually everybody we've ever observed in the world, and it's their fault, and, you know, that the conversation's all focused on them rather than the conversation's focused on me. So, definitely. Major key. Jeannie, any thoughts for you? We've got about 9 minutes left.
No, I am good.
So how can we support you if you're out there? With all that we've talked about, from relationship to functioning as love to each idea that's been presented, I know that if Jeannie and Tim and I were on a platform in your local community, whether it's the local library or church or school or university, whatever it was, when we walked down off the stage, you'd be walking over to one or perhaps all three of us and saying, well, what about, there's the question we want to answer. What's your mind asking? What about when this happens? Or what about when that doesn't happen? How do I apply the tools then? How does forgiveness fit into that scenario? So they're the kinds of questions that we're looking for. And if you have that question, then by asking it, you get to support everybody in the community because you're probably not the only one with the question. Probably everybody in the community has the question, or several people in the community will have the question. And remember that, you know, there's actually another quote I came across from Rumi that where he says that silence, you know, in our Course of Miracles each day, we've been working into lessons where there's a quiet place where you just ask the mind to be quiet. And Rumi says, silence is the language of the creator. All else is a poor translation, which I thought was a pretty powerful observation. So to allow yourself to simply get into this quiet space, recognizing who you are, and to allow yourself to listen to the Creator's voice in you. That's the really important voice. The Creator's voice. There is that one voice. And we all share access to that one voice. And if we utilize the tools, what happens is the tools, over a period of time, still the mind, still carbon-based memory. What forgiveness does is it gets that voice that wants to, you know, that comes from your power person, that wants to express through you as your voice, it gets that voice to fall still. Even, you know, if you can do that for a fraction of a second, which oftentimes when one first engages in the forgiveness process, that's what it is. It's just a fraction of a second that voice is stilled. It's an exact parallel to what's called, well, what the world calls a near-death experience, where one experiences the literal clinical death of physiology and then is restored. What happens in that experience of clinical death is carbon-based memory shuts down. It collapses exactly the same as in forgiveness. Now, most people who go through that near-life experience, we call it a near-life experience because the person who's been listening all these years to what's going on in carbon-based memory and all the conversations and all the stuff about how everybody's the problem in their lives are already dead. They're lost. They're dead in that conversation. There's no being in it. And when that carbon-based memory system collapses through clinical death, then they have a near-life experience. They get to go, oh, is this how I am free of this carbon base, free of this story of my generations about how you did it? You know, it's these women that are the problem in my life. No, it's the government that's, no, it's the men that are the problem in my life. No, it's the children. No, it's the, when carbon base memory collapses, you get to hear the voice of the Creator. Now, I don't suggest you go out and create yourself a near-life experience. It can be a little risky. But anytime you wish, and if you do this on a consistent, persistent basis over time, you will notice that those voices of hostility or fear get still in you. Because each time you forgive, you weaken them. And each time you forgive, when perception collapses, it's the same as carbon-based memory going into clinical death. It shuts down, again, even if only for a half a second. There's that little startle of, whoa, what just happened there? Of course, that voice tends to jump right back in and want to start its conversation again. But if you will consistently, persistently do that, and it's going to take time, then you get to the point where that voice will get quieter and quieter and quieter, and there'll be more time, and it will be easier and easier for you to just stop and take a breath. Let's do that right now. And go into silence. Powerful objectives of Buddhist meditation is to get to a space of no mind. That thing collapses in you. Then there's room for the voice for love to come in and inform you. And the way you do that is by canceling the goals that drive your mind to use any form of hostility or fear to build your perception. Game happens. We're here to hold the space for the precise understanding of how to use that tool. And so we're here to support you. And we're honored and delighted that you're here to be part of the conversation. End of October, October 27th. The Outer Banks of North Carolina. We'll hope that they're still there. We'll be checking in the next few days to see how the resort is doing that we've set up for the end of October for Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive and a teacher's training intensive on into November. So if you're interested in joining us for that, then Jeannie's email is jeannie@whyagain.org. If you'll drop her an email with your name and phone number and what intensive you're interested in, I'll get back to you and we'll have a conversation and see if we get you set up for it. In the meantime, we invite everybody to create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.